And we are live for the 165th episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, sponsored by Six Pack Coverage. And today it's me and it's Andrew, and we are fresh off a Yankees 2-3 against the Guardians. Andrew, what's going on?
What's going on, man? 15 games in the season, 16 games against in the season. Yankees hold, I believe, the best record in baseball, have won 75% of their games. And yet here we are. We just watched the worst game of the year so far. So generally speaking, though, things are very good in Yankee land. Lots of good to get into tonight. We'll certainly break down the last game in the Cleveland series. That is the most frustrating thing that we've seen so far this season. But all in all, lots of good so far in the early going.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to be like. It's all overall pretty good, more good than bad. And now we're going to complain about some stuff for like 35, 40 minutes. Yeah, well, we were just looking, you know, the Yankees have won 2-3 basically every series since the Houston series, like, which is good. Today's game was really fucking annoying, though, dude. It was really annoying. Like, it was a very difficult game to watch. Because there was a few things that happened, like, in today's game that I would say probably would be, like, the, you know, the things that you would nitpick about, or the things that would be kind of like your primary concern of whatever degree. But overall, things have been very good. So I figured we would, I don't know, we could talk about the good stuff first. Like, the last time we were on was in the middle of the Diamondback series, and beat 2-3 against the National League champs. They beat 2-3, won 2-3 against the Blue Jays, against the Marlins, and this weekend against the Guardians. So that's all good. But there's just things. There's little things that they're doing that are annoying.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it seem like we're saying the sky is falling, right? But there are certain things that need to be addressed, and I think we're very justified in complaining about through the first 16 games of the season. And kind of it hit me this afternoon, like an hour after that Cleveland game ended. It's just like, you know what? I don't want to fall into the same rut we did in 2022 where things were incredible. They were on pace to set the wins record. And yeah, then they kind of just stumbled to the finish line. They did beat Cleveland in the playoffs, but they got their asses handed to them by Houston because of some stuff that was just lingering over the whole course of the season. Remember, IKF was starting every single day at shortstop, not even the utility role he was the following year, making a lot of errors, not really hitting well. They had Josh Donaldson. I think he was mostly healthy that year. Just like things that, you know, they were winning, but a lot of our fan base didn't want to acknowledge the flaws because it's like, who cares? Yankees are winning. And you know what? Yeah, they're going to win a lot of games this year, whether they make the playoffs or not, whether these issues get addressed or not, right? Like, good teams, talented teams win a lot of games. But the fact of the matter is championship teams find issues and address them. They plug holes where they need to. So for the Yankees, I mean, it's infield defense, right? Torres, Volpe, Rizzo have all looked subpar defensively. Even Oswaldo Cabrera has made a couple questionable throws that have been, I think, tagged to Rizzo for errors, but he could have gotten hit with those as well. The middle relief hasn't been great. Now, there's been some bright spots like Nick Birdie. Victor Gonzalez has looked decent, but then Caleb Ferguson has looked pretty terrible every time he's pitched. Who else am I missing? Luke Weaver is very up and down. He gave up a home run to Esteban Florial today. Like, the guy can't hit an off-speed pitch, and he threw him a 94-mile-per-hour fastball middle in, like at the waist. Like, so, you know, there are lingering things that we have to be aware of and we have to address and fix over the course of the season, or else the Yankees are going to be a very good team that win 90 to 100 games and then they're going to be exposed in the playoffs again. I'm not writing the eulogy of the season right now by any means, but like, this is what you have to think.
No,
like,
but I mean, there are definitely
you have a hot start like this, you have to start thinking forward. Like, well, okay, clearly this team's better than I expected. I thought maybe 92, 93 wins. They play at this pace, they're going to be a runaway for one of the two byes. Or I guess that's only one bye, right? The top seed. But yeah, look, again, yeah, Eventually you got to be aware of where you have issues and you got to fix them.
Yeah, so I think with some context, right? Like, there's positives, and let's we can talk about those for a second, because there's some things that I think, one, in general, have been good, and then maybe have surprised us. Like, what we talked about in the chat was like, you know, they run out basically the same lineup every game, which is, you know, I don't know, they haven't really done that you know, they did that in like 2009, the championship team, and like for a couple of years around that time, like they haven't done that. And it certainly hasn't been Aaron Boone's MO to do that. And especially with the doubleheader yesterday. So like to just be like, hey, this is gonna be the lineup, right? It's not gonna be like the names from a hat bullshit that Aaron Boone seemingly loves to do, where it's just like first it's Glaber leading off, and then it's, you know, your two through four might be the same, and then every thing after that is basically rotating on a daily basis. Like,
what was the thing last year? Jake Bowers hit in like 8 of the 9 spots in the lineup. There's just no consistency. And I get when you, the team is lacking a lot more star power, you kind of have to free ball it every night. But having that security every night is so refreshing.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll have like, you know, you have probably like your left-handed lineups, you know, where Stanton would bat fourth, and then you have probably the right-handed, you know, where Rizzo would bat fourth or fifth, something like that. And you have, I mean, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera's been off to a great start. That's a nice positive. He's, you know, they've been forced basically to get him in the lineup, which will be easier now because John Birdie got hurt. And I think, I guess, it's going to sound like not a positive, but it is a positive, right? Anthony Volpe got off to a really great start batting. Gleyber Torres did not. Contract year, unfortunate for him. But they put Gleyber up in the top of the lineup to start the season, which, I don't know. That read to me at that time just like a stopgap kind of thing. But he has not been hitting well, and Anthony Volpe was. So I think what I expected them to do, you know, was just like run that for a while, like maybe stubbornly so, but they didn't. And they, earlier this week, they flipped him. You know, they shot Volpe up to the top of the lineup and they moved Gleyber down. He still isn't hitting, which again, not great, but like, I think the fact that they made that lineup change at pretty early stage of the season, and also at this point, like they've run out the same or similar lineup most every game, you know, it's a little different than what they've done, you know, in seasons past, which I find interesting.
It's nice. And I agree. I was as skeptical about making that lineup change because kind of the, if it's not broke, don't fix it type mentality. Right now, Gleyber certainly wasn't hitting at the top of the lineup, but you have to feel that with Juan Soto protecting him, he would eventually figure it out. Right. Like, I'm not super sold on him being the guy we saw last year. I know a lot of our fan base got ahead of themselves and they said, oh, he's the second best hitter on the team. You got to give this guy a $120 million extension. To me, until he proves otherwise, until he proves that he can extend that type of performance more than a year or two, or can't just capitalize on a juiced ball year, he's just a guy, right? Like, he's not bad, but he's certainly not spectacular like so many of our fans have made him out to be. And then obviously the shortcomings on the bases and in the field are, it's a whole other issue. We're just talking about the bat. Volpe was destroying the ball, hitting what, 6th, 7th, 8th, some rotation of that on a nightly basis. And even they moved him up to the top of the lineup, he's still hitting 382, excuse me. Like, I had that game tying double against Emmanuel Clase today. I don't think there's a bad spot to put him right now. He seems like a very different player this year. And I think long-term, especially with DJ's injury history, he'll obviously be coming back, but DJ's injury history and the fact that he's getting older, the Yankees project to have a guy like Anthony Volpe leading off for hopefully the next 10 years. So eventually the move is going to have to be made anyway. Do I think it happened sooner than expected? For sure. But I'm glad we're here. Now we just got to get the middle of the order, the 6, 7, 8 guys, right? Catcher, Verdugo, Gleyber, that they have to hit now in the spot that Volpe was occupying previously. But yeah, like that top three is grotesque, right? Volpe, Soto, Judge, you could argue it's the best 1, 2, 3 in baseball. And that includes the Dodgers that have Betts and Ohtani 1 and 2.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think, again, if we're listing positives, it's more of a future positive, but they have gotten off to a good start. Judge has not really been hitting super consistently. He's had, you know, a couple of big hits in a couple spots. He did hit an absolute monster shot, three-run home run today, about 470 feet, which, you know, but anyway, even a couple of days ago, he was betting under 200, like...
He's 207 after the game today.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, he hasn't been... You know, he'll always go up there and he'll always see pitches, and that has some value, but, like, you know, got to hit the ball. And so he hasn't really been doing that consistently. So I think The fact that they have gotten off to the start, Stanton obviously had a pretty nice stretch of a week or so, which is also nice positive, and kudos to him for that. But they've gotten off to a good start. And, you know, I think at this point, without Garrett Cole, right, you need the offense to do that on a lot of nights. You know, I think the starting pitchers have had a lot of pretty good outings. But at this point, without Garrett Cole, you need to have those kinds of things. And I think the fact that they've scored enough runs to win the amount of games they have to this point without Glaber doing much of anything with the bat. Trevino hit a home run today. He hasn't done much with the bat, right? Austin Wells, similarly, when he's gotten in the game, hasn't really done much. Like, Oswaldo Cabrera's off to an awesome start with the bat. But Judge, right? You have like a few regular players who haven't really done much hitting. Rizzo, kind of similarly, hasn't really done much consistently. So, you know, that's like a third of your regular lineup, right?
Yeah, but that's a good segue. Like, let's talk about the pitching, right? Obviously, we knew there would be a challenge without Garrett Cole going into the season for at least 2 months, maybe more. They immediately put him on the 60-day IL. I think earliest he could come back is right around Memorial Day, but even then, it's probably unrealistic. And then you didn't have a defined number five starter. They gave it to Luis Gil coming off Tommy John surgery, and so far he's been great, right? He has a 3.0 ERA. He's going to get the start tomorrow, or I guess today, whenever this podcast gets published. But yeah, like Carlos Rodon has an ERA under 2. Marcus Stroman went the first 2 starts without giving up an earned run. The starting rotation, we said a couple podcasts ago, I think it was the preseason one, or maybe it was right after opening day, or the rotation doesn't really have to be the story, right? They just don't have to get in the way, right? Don't have a bunch of blow-up outings. And then just hold on the fort. Let the offense do the talking this year. And so far, they've actually exceeded that. Like, the offense has been really good sometimes, and they've had a couple really cold spurts. Remember, they've lost 4 games, and 2 of them, they were shut out. And another one, they only scored 2 runs. Today was the first real big loss where, you know, they scored enough runs to win, and then they gave it away on the pitching side. But the starting rotation, for the most part, has been phenomenal. And then you even had Cody Poteet come up for the second game of the doubleheader, make a spot start and give you 6 innings, 1 run. That's all really, really good. There's nothing really to complain about there. I think most encouraging, though, is the progression of Rodon. He looks more confident. He clearly looks like he's in better physical shape than he was last year. And he's the guy that we paid him the $162 million deal to be. And in the absence of Garrett Cole, he is effectively the staff ace right now, and he's playing the part.
Yeah, yeah. So Rodon, he went 6 innings, no runs against the Marlins. He went 5 1/3, 2 runs against the Diamondbacks. And he went 4 1/3 with 1 run against the Astros. You know, that's good, right? Like, in this early stage of the season, they're not going to let pitchers, you know, go heavy, like, deep into games unless they're really pitch efficient. Nestor did it against the Marlins. But, like, those are the kind of performances that you need. And obviously, if you pay the man, you know, $160 million, that's what you want. But, like, I think coming off of last season was as terrible as you could possibly ask for, right? Like, to come back and put out 3, like, really good outings like that, you know, it stabilizes, I think, everyone's nerves, right? Like, where's it going to come from? You know, Marcus Stroman had a good outing on opening day at Yankee Stadium. He's had, you know, some other nice moments, but Carlos Rodon is the guy. He's the guy with the big contract. Like, he's been a very good pitcher at other points in his career. So definitely a tip of the cap to him.
Yeah, and his 3 starts were, you said, Houston, Arizona, and Miami.
Yeah. Right,
so Miami is a throwaway because they're really not a good team at all.
Hey, 6 innings, 0 runs.
But his first 2 starts were against the Astros, who were perennial World Series threats, went to the ALCS, lost in 7 games last year, and then against the Diamondbacks, who won the pennant in the National League last year. 2 very good offenses, and he held his own. But I'm equally as encouraged, even by a guy like Clark Schmidt. He hasn't really dominated, per se, in any outing, but, like, his ERA is mid threes. I think he's about a strikeout per inning, maybe a touch more. He's not really walking too many guys. They're a little higher than you would expect. I think it's maybe about 7 or 8 in 15 or 16 innings, which is a little high, right? But I know that was a concern that he was walking a lot of guys in spring training, so he's kind of held that in check a little bit. Actually, didn't he have like 5 walks in his last outing? That was like the whole thing, right? So like outside of that, he's been fine with control. Yeah, like the Yankees are getting exactly what they need from the rotation right now. Like no one is going out and completely having a blow-up outing.
I was just going to say
that you got was Cortez today. Didn't make it up the fifth inning at a high pitch count. And even then, he left with a lead. So,
yeah, like I think that would be. I was just doing a quick browse of the schedule. Yeah, no, there hasn't been. You know, I mean, I think at some point those like 4 1/3 innings pitched outings need to become like 5 in, you know, 5 innings or 6 innings, but there hasn't been an outing, I don't think, when any of them have gone out and given up like, you know, 5 runs in 3 innings or something like
that.
I think the
worst outing from the entire staff all the year, I misspoke, was Nestor's second start in Arizona. I think that was the game they lost 7-0, gave up 4 runs or something like that in the first inning, maybe 1 or 2 after that. And the game was pretty much over early with Zach Gallen opposing you. But that was really it, right? And again, you're going to have 10 to 15 games like that. Every team is over the course of every season. Those aren't the games you really complain about. It's a game like Sunday afternoon against Cleveland that really kind of aggravates you and you stew on it for hours after the fact. Otherwise, you know, even the best teams lose 60 to 70 games a year. Like that's losing a game isn't a big deal. It's how you lose. Yeah. It's way more frustrating.
Yeah. So let's do the Guardians series then. So, they did get 2 out of 3, which again, they've done all the series since the Astros series. And again, as good a start as you could ask for, you won all your series, played against the Astros, the big demon, right? You played against the Diamondbacks, who won the pennant, and otherwise, you know, off to a great start, but you played against the Guardians Saturday. Friday was rained out, so you did a doubleheader on Saturday, and they won both of the legs of the doubleheader, 3-2 in the early one, versus, let's see, Clark Schmidt. That was the Clark Schmidt game. He did have 5 walks in that game.
Yeah.
And then the second game was much easier. And that one was, you know, that was 8-2 with a nice outing. A nice outing by Cody Poteet, right?
You know, he actually was in consideration for that fifth spot in the rotation all spring. So it shouldn't come as a huge surprise. I know he doesn't have much of a major league track record, though. So for him to just get thrown into the fire like that and pitch awesome is very encouraging. And I think he was the 27th man, so he immediately got sent back down. They called up Ron Marinaccio as well. He overrun in that ninth inning. Shocker, right? Because I know we're neither of us are super hot on him, which is a bummer because the Yankees could use a guy like him. They could use Scott Efros back. They're going to need Tommy Kahnle to come off the IL when he's healthy and be effective. Guys like Caleb Ferguson, Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver's role is a little different because he can go multiple innings, but like they're not really moving the needle for me. And one thing that I think it was River at Blues tweeted right after the game, just like no one in the bullpen has swing and miss stuff, right? Like again, did the defense let down Ferguson in the 10th inning? Of course, but everything was put in play for like the last 3 innings by Cleveland. Like no one is getting strikeouts. And sometimes like you don't want to be an all or nothing home runner strikeout type pitcher, because then you make a mistake and it gets blasted into the sun. But like at a certain point, there is a value to getting a big strikeout in that spot, right? The runners don't move. You don't have to worry about wild pitches or anything like that. And the Yankees aren't getting that from anyone. Like losing Loaisiga for the year is a huge hit to that. But
yeah,
that's something they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we've talked about the offense. Like offensively, there was good things this series. The second leg of that doubleheader was a nice performance by the offense. A lot of hits all throughout the lineup. Soto had a big home run, I think, right? So, like, that was good. But the bullpen is one of those things where I was going to say, like, call it complaining or whatever. The Yankees are, you know, whatever their record is, 12-4. But, like, this is the shit you have to look at, right? Like, the bullpen isn't a confidence-inspiring group. And even, you can't, like, back to, like, you know, several years ago when you had just, like, Chapman and Miller and Patances and all the other guys behind them lined up, like, you don't need to have that level of bullpen. But, like, right now, Loaisiga wasn't even that consistently good, right? He was definitely a little bit of an adventure sometimes, but, like,
Well, four innings, no earned runs.
Well, I mean, like, you know,
scored, but
generally, yeah, like, there's always an injury or anything, you know, those
did kinds did of have stuff. A whip of two, though, in four innings, seven hits and a walk. That's not great.
Yeah, like, right now, you're without Loaisiga, you're without Canely. I don't know what his deal is or if there's been an update on him, but he had kind
Canely
of like a...
Canely should be back, I'm hoping, early May, but who the hell knows?
Like, Canely, you're without Efros, you're without Lou Trevino. Those ones seem like they're longer-term situations. Ian Hamilton's been good, but, like, you can't use him every day. You can't use
and
the one
my
good
thing
guy,
with
right?
Ian Hamilton is Boone's kind of abused the fact that he can go multiple innings, which I know wasn't the intention. Maybe at the beginning of spring, and he proved he could do it. And then even in the first few outings of this season, he's had effective two-inning roles. I don't want him to become a multi-out or multi-inning guy. If you need four outs, you know, to close one inning and then get the next inning, I guess, but then you're having him warm up twice, and it seems like every time he does that, he loses a little bit. Like, he's very good for what he is, and if it that just means having him be like the dedicated eighth inning guy. And I know they don't do bullpen roles anymore. That's like very early 2000s, 1990s type thing, right? But have him just come in and throw one inning most times, get extra outs if you need it. But his role shouldn't be to come in and get five, six outs every time he pitches. That's not going to be sustainable.
No, and he's going to be cooked by August if he does that. So, but like he's, I don't know, like he's probably the best reliever, you know, in form right now, right? So like it's fucking it's very frustrating. And Clay Holmes, like, I don't think he's ever gonna get back to like what it, you know, what it was the second half of 2 years ago.
You know, when he's on, and there's other nights where it's an adventure, it's a roller coaster.
It's really, yeah. I don't know if how hot of a take it is, but if I was, you know, if I said like, if the Yankees, if a closer became available at the deadline, wouldn't at all hate for them to go out and replace Clay or, you know, bump him down or whatever. He just does
if
not
they
do
get
it for
if
me.
If they get a closer per se, they'd probably put him in the eighth inning unless Clay gives up the job. But that's interesting because I know it's way too early to start looking at trade acquisitions, but Chapman's on the Pirates. Like, he's had a history of being moved. The Yankees have a history with him. I feel like they'll
Yankees have a history with the Pirates.
They'll have a history. That'll be a conversation they have. I don't know if they're going to make that trade. But, yeah, obviously there's a lot of guys who may become available June and July. And I think the Yankees owe it to themselves and the fans to have conversations on a lot of guys, right? There are a lot of arms in the bullpen, and if they all perform – to their max capability. A guy like Caleb Ferguson was very good with the Dodgers. He could be that. He has not performed so far as a Yankee, but that's not saying he couldn't get there. Victor Gonzalez kind of is what he is, right? I think Luke Weaver, expecting him to be a pivotal piece, is kind of like very Tampa-esque. I said, we can get the most out of this guy where no one else could. I don't know if I like that. And then the only, like you said, the only two real sure things are Hamilton and Holmes, having Loaisiga out for the year. Canely was up and down last year, and he's had injury histories now a couple years in a row. Trevino and Efros are both coming off injuries themselves. So there's a lot of question marks with the bullpen, and I don't want to be in a situation where we're having conversations like we are tonight about a game like we did today 20, 30 times this year. The bullpen let us down. And a big error. You should be able to overcome one error. Maybe not three, but you should be able to overcome one error, right? Rizzo has struggled with the bat, got a big two-run single in extra innings. Like, that should have been enough to win the game, and it wasn't, so...
Yeah, like, I, you know, not to beat this horse to death or whatever, but there's just too many just a guys in the bullpen right now. And, you know, it's early season. That could, you know, someone could rise to the top of that group. But, like, Holmes and Hamilton, right, unless Canely and Scott Efros and Lou Trevino all come back at some point during the season, you know, that would be a big boost. Those are all more established guys. But, like, Victor Gonzalez, Caleb Ferguson, Nick Birdie, Luke Weaver, Ron Marinaccio, Dennis Santana, like, none of those guys, none of them are yet jumping. You know, Nick Birdie's had a nice outing or two, but like, it's not a sign, at least something to be aware of, something that I'm concerned about at this point.
It's very different than if you look at, you know, in past years, we, like years ago on this podcast, right, we used to regularly do bullpen trust lists, and we haven't done it yet, and I certainly don't think it's the time to do it yet. But like, remember, you had consistent guys every single year. That's
because our trust has been abused. Gatman was
on there. Wisego was on there. Chad Green was on there. Tommy Canley was on there. You had the same guys every year. And I know you have an entire new cast in the bullpen this year, but I don't really have a lot of confidence in many of those guys yet. Now, they can play themselves into those roles, right? Like Nick Birdie goes out. I think they said he gave up his first hit all season today. Fortunately, drove in a run, but like, if he plays himself into a very reliable, every time he comes in, he's going to hold on the fort, then yeah, he could very quickly move into the good graces. But I just don't have a lot of tenure with these guys, right? As Yankees.
No, and in the limited action they've gotten,
they haven't like played up to those roles yet. So there's not a ton of confidence outside the top two guys.
They're all pretty new. And I think, I don't know, just in terms of like long-term thinking, right? Like, if Cole comes back, what happens? Like, you put Luis Gil back in the bullpen. Like, at some point, they need to.
He's proved that he can throw multiple innings. I'd almost rather him play like the Luke Weaver role, right?
Or just go down.
I'd hate to just send him down in AAA just to keep him stretched out when he's shown he can perform in the bigs.
For him, it's had like a long injury layoff, right? So I would honestly, I think that would be a little bit more excusable in this case, because at that point, you might just be like, hey, we're preparing him for the beginning of next season. We want him to get a season starting under his belt. Like, that would be cool. But like, also some of the other guys of like the Will Warrens and the Clayton Beaters, like, I don't know, like maybe, right. I think if they're starting, right, it seems, you know, sometimes you bring them up to the big leagues in the late season and have them just pitch out of the bullpen. There needs to be an upgrade somewhere, right? Someone needs to either rise to the top of this group, or they need to go get something else, I think, just based on what we're seeing right now. But right.
And obviously, it's way too early to be saying, like, we need to make bullpen upgrades right now, right? We're 2 weeks into the season. But long term, these cracks become large breaks.
Exposed,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get carried away and say that the shortfalls over the first 16 games are going to continue for the next 2-3 months. But based on what I've seen from these guys and their career histories, whether it be ineffectiveness or injuries or whatnot, it's not like everyone in the bullpen is a seventh, eighth, ninth inning bona fide star and they'll all get there, right? So like, there's no reason to just assume that everything's going to be fine. Bullpen is the most finicky position in the sport, right? Like Tampa, for example, uses like 20 guys every year. Six of them blow out their elbows. Like, just, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs and injuries and whatnot. But that is, I think, the underbelly of the team right now. Just because a game like today wasn't the first time it happened. It happened in that game in Arizona. They almost gave away at the end of the first road trip, right? Again, that was with Caleb Ferguson on the mound. They only won that game because Torey Lovello played his hand and needed to hit a relief pitcher with the bases loaded in extra innings with the go-ahead run on second base. Like, the Yankees won that game because mismanagement.
Same pitcher, right? Caleb Ferguson.
Like, otherwise, if any professional major league hitter is up in that spot, does Ferguson get him out? I don't like my chances.
No. And so, and this, you know, here we're shit-talking Caleb Ferguson a lot. I think today's game was just so fucking annoying, right? Couple errors, right? Like, you go into the 10th inning with 2-run lead, right? And Caleb Ferguson's the guy you bring out of the bullpen. Like, it, you know, I don't know, coming off a doubleheader, right? I don't know. Boone always does this thing where he's just like, oh, well, they were available, but I wasn't going to use them, or so-and-so was, or like, I don't know who was available, who wasn't, but like, I just, that's not the lever I would have pulled. So, but at the same time, right? Like, starting with the runner on second base, still gotta make the plays. They didn't make all the plays that inning, so.
And what was weird is that they said Luis Gil was available if they needed
in a big spot.
In the double, in either game of the doubleheader on Saturday. And then, like, I know you don't want to warm up, but like, could he have come in the 10th inning and shut the door? You had extra rest from the off day on Thursday and the rain out on Friday that you could have thrown Rodon tomorrow against Toronto and then Stroman after that. I don't know how you'd figure out. I think you'd still be strapped to figure out the third game of that series, but you could have pushed those two up and been fine if you really needed that. And I get, you know, early in the year, you got to see what you have in the bullpen. One loss isn't going to kill you. But it just seems like Ferguson, every time he's in this position, he's giving up runs. And the Yankees have four losses this year, and he is the pitcher of record in two of those losses. So that's not great.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have to make this a Caleb Ferguson shit-talking podcast. No, let's talk about he's more of a symptom, I think, or he's more of a side effect of that whole situation. Anyway, your segue.
Well, yeah, like let's talk about some bright spots offensively. We already touched on Anthony Volpe having incredible start to the season. Juan Soto is as good as advertised, if not better.
Unbelievably.
Even when he's not doing much, he's working the count. He's making the pitcher uncomfortable. He's providing protection for Volpe. And then certainly if they don't want to pitch to Soto, they got to pitch to Aaron Judge. We saw it play out perfectly today, right? Soto walked, Judge followed with 3-run home run. Like that's the game plan for the Yankees. You get that 30, 40 times a year, you're in business. Now we can talk about more on the downside. We mentioned Gleyber Torres certainly isn't living up to the expectations. And Alex Verdugo hasn't really done much either. Now, to his credit, he has, I think, two home runs and a couple doubles, but like couldn't run out that grounder that ended up being the double play today. His launch angle is like pathetic. Everything's on the ground. I need to see more from those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Soto is that dude for sure. Guy doesn't waste a pitch. And it's very cool because especially in, you know, I guess now that the shift is, you know, restricted or whatever it is, like, but it's just, it's
but it
cool
doesn't
to
even
see
matter.
A guy.
Like, he goes to left field more
I was
going to
say, like, I was going to say now that the shift is restricted, maybe we focus a little bit less on, like, you know, guys who like exclusively pull the ball or whatever, but Soto
bunted for a hit today. Like he does.
I was gonna say he is clearly not that guy because he hit. You know, he hit a home run over the high wall in Houston. He hit. You know, he hits to all the fields. He, you know, launched a home run into the, you know, into right field yesterday. Like he's just for every single spot on the field. You know, and he's dug into that batter's box. He's not wasting a pitch. Which definitely has had an effect on the lineup, right? It's not super tangible, but, like, you could see, like, Oswaldo Cabrera goes out there and says, yeah, I watch him, right? He interrupted an interview to be like, oh, I have to watch, you know, I have to watch Soto take batting practice. Like, it has an effect. And he's gotten off to this awesome start. Judge has gotten off to less of a good start, right, that we talked about. But it's having an effect on the lineup. Is having an effect on every person in the lineup. And once Judge gets going, right, we're all just assuming that it's, you know, the fact that he didn't get many at-bats in spring training. He took like a week to 10 days off and he didn't get the at-bats and he took the next, you know, the last 2 weeks to basically get his timing and whatever. Hit an absolute fucking bomb today. Once Judge and Soto get going, man, that's what we need, right? That's the engine, right? Rizzo hasn't really contributed and Stanton did contribute. So if you can get like three of those four guys hitting well at any particular moment, then your offense is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think Stanton kind of is what he is, right? Like he's hitting 250. His on base percentage is under 300. He's just not going to be a high on base percentage guy anymore. But if he makes his hits count, right, doubles, home runs, leads the team with four home runs right now. Look, should he be hitting cleanup? Probably not. But
more of
like, how many
respect,
seasons have
I
you
think,
seen Kyle Schwarber hit like 210 and hit 45 home runs, right? Like that's an effective
literally
season.
Last season, yeah.
You would like a higher on base percentage, higher batting average. But if he's producing when he's putting the ball in play, then fine, right? Like if Stanton hits 200 this year and pops 35 home runs, should he be hitting cleanup? I think you probably drop him to sixth at that. But 35 home runs, you take that and you run with it, right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
He just can't be hitting 190 with an on-base percentage of 287 and 18 home runs and 45 RBIs. Like, that's not going to cut it. He's got to produce when he actually does put the ball in play. And if he's a guy who's just not going to get on base a bunch, that's fine. Where I am concerned more is Anthony Rizzo. And to his credit, he did have that two-run single to give the Yankees the lead in extra innings. But outside of that, like, his power numbers are way down. His hard hit percentage is down. His barrel percentage is down. He has six errors in the field, which is very strange for him, certainly this early in the year. But it just seems like, I don't know, he was hitting the ball in spring. So I don't even want to say whatever lingering concussion issues he had from last year may have maybe reappearing, because he seemed fine in the spring. And he just seems off right now through 13 or 14. Is he one of the guys who's played every game for the Yankees? Let me see. Hang on. I think he has played in all 16 games. Yeah, so he hasn't even missed a day yet. Maybe he needs an off day. Maybe that's a spot they slot in DJ when he's healthy and they keep Oswaldo at third. I don't know. But something's off with Rizzo. And I'm hoping it's just a slow start, but if it's not, that's another spot the Yankees would have to address at the deadline.
Yeah. And the Rizzo contract situation is definitely right. He's not young. Still looks like at times he could be a pretty effective player. The errors are definitely concerning, just because that's supposed to be like a huge strength of his game. It always has been. So, I don't know. Obviously, DJ coming off a broken foot, like, it's not a guaranteed thing, but, like, if he does come back healthy, then, yeah, you could play him at third, and you could play him at first, and that's all, you know, that's super useful. I don't know. So, I think they mentioned it maybe on Michael Kay's show and in a couple of spots, right? Like, Judge not hitting was more of a concern. I guess it doesn't have to be a huge concern, but it is a concern, right? Until he starts hitting, right?
Like, and then is he hurt concern type thing, or just because he just wasn't hitting?
Well, yeah, I guess a little bit of both, right? The longer it goes on, the longer you might have, or the more you might have those kind of thoughts of be like, well, maybe he's not just missing his timing. Maybe he's hurt, or maybe something else is going on, whatever. But, like, they had said that, like, if it goes on long enough, would you eventually flip Soto and Judge in the lineup and see if the change of, like, you know, having the protection of Soto behind him as opposed to having the protection of, like, Stanton or Rizzo behind him, would that change anything? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't hate it. Like, I think flipping Gleyber and putting Volpe up there solved the problem, right? Your top three now have the potential to be awesome if Volpe keeps getting on base at the clip that he is. Soto's always going to do that. Judge traditionally has done that. Hasn't done it yet, but if he does, then you're cooking at the top of the lineup. Now, if the next three are, you know, under 300 on base percentage, Stanton and Rizzo, who is off to exactly the opposite start that he was last year, and onward from there, Verdugo, who hasn't, you know, had a couple of nice hits and whatever, but not really done much, like, that all has to sort itself out. Verdugo, I think, has had a lot of stretches of being a really solid hitter. And they need him to be that. If he's batting sixth or whatever, like, I think he's been a guy who can grind out a tough at bat. You know, they've really jumped on the weird dogs out there and all that kind of rah-rah stuff. It's very cool. But if he's batting like 215, I don't care about that. Like,
And thankfully it is still early, and all it takes is one hot week to turn around any of these guys' seasons. With Gleyber, I know that's going to come just because he's historically been very streaky. The question is, how many more games is he going to have in this opening season slump before he hits that hot streak, right? And then how long can he carry that hot streak through? Because, again, if it's like 20 games down, 5 games up, another 10 games down, that's not really where you want to be. He's as streaky as like Brett Gardner was, right? A different type of hitter, obviously, but like, you remember how streaky Gardner could get when he was on, he'd hit 350 for a week or two and hit six home runs, and then he'd hit 180 for a month after that. Like, Labor's kind of in that boat too. And the only difference is that he's not an elite defender or base runner. So he really does need to either shore up those shortfalls or figure out at the plate. Otherwise, he's just a guy. Like, half our lineup is looking right. Trevino's there. Grisham, when he plays, is just a guy. Verdugo's been just a guy.
Grisham has at least one elite part to his game. He's a Gold Glove caliber defender.
Correct.
So, I don't know. I have my guys and I trash on guys, and that's fine. Like, It sucks, right? Glaber, by all accounts, he's a great dude. He loves being a Yankee, but like, you don't give out $20 million to $25 million a year for being just fucking okay, right? Like, beyond the fact that it's a contract year, like last year was a really very acceptably, like, solidly good season, right? You don't have to have like a 40 home run season like he did the second year of his career, but you do have to be good at something. Like, he's an okay-ish defender. He's a not fast, subpar base runner. He isn't truly a power hitter, but like, he can hit doubles, he can hit home runs, like, but you have to do that stuff because you're not making it up in the field, you're not making it up on the base pass, like, and he's kind of been out there, you know, saying like, you know, I want to be a Yankee and all that stuff. Like, they're just not going to re-sign him for $100 million if this is how, even slightly better than this, is how he's going to play. Like, it's just not going to happen.
And that's the concern, right? If he's going to be this type of guy or streaky hitter, like, I know the fans love him and whatnot, but you got to think about allocation of resources. If Soto's going to get anywhere from $500 to $600 million this offseason, someone's going to have to pay that money. And I don't think they're going to double ticket prices. I think they might, but they're going to cap the salary at a certain spot. And $20 million to Gleyber Torres is not going to help the case of retaining Juan Soto. And if you can only have one, it's a no-brainer which one you take.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And does Oswaldo Cabrera become
the contingency for second base long-term? Do they say, well, maybe we can get one or two more good years at a DJ and then we'll figure it out beyond there in free agency? Does Peraza maybe figure it out?
Does he get healthy? You technically have the Peraza thing in the club in your bag for a little while longer, right? Before he's completely torched his value.
Before, like, he's having Esteban Florial and they caught him and then he ends up hitting a big home run against us in 3 years.
Yeah. The first three in the lineup, right? That's a huge strength, right? The next three is more of a, like, Stanton could be pretty useful if he just hits 250 and hits a bunch of home runs. There's value in that. Rizzo needs to be better. Glaber definitely needs to be better, but they have been. And at some point, right, like, it's early season. I mean, expecting them, Glaber and Rizzo both to be better, but if they're not, then, you know, your focus changes.
The good news is the Yankees haven't had an extended stretch where, like, 1-9, none of the guys are hitting. And like, that's going to happen, too. Like, we're going to have a week where we lose 4 out of 6 games and no one in the lineup is hitting and we're all going to be mad and banging our heads against the wall and saying the season's slipping away, right? Like, that's how baseball works. It's fickle in that regard. But thankfully, with a certain amount of these guys underperforming thus far, like, Volpe's carrying it every day. Soto's there every day. Judge, to his credit, he's only hitting barely over 200. His base percentage is like 380. He's still drawing a lot of walks and has 3 home runs. There is still enough firepower to cover up some of these issues, but I think it's worth at least talking about it like we're doing here. Because at some point, to your point, these guys need to hit, because Soto's going to slump, Judge is going to slump, Volpe's going to slump, or someone's going to get hurt. Like, you need these guys at some point to pick it up, because they're going to be the guy who has to carry the offense one night.
Yeah, yeah, and that's all that we're doing, right? Like, they've won 12 out of the 16 games, and that's great. That's as good a start as you could ask for when you start against, you know, 4 games against Houston and 3 games against the National League champions. You're off to a great start. You bank a bunch of early wins, right? Plan A is that you get Garrett Cole back, and then you go from there. You get onto the deadline, make a couple moves, get your 95 to 100 wins, and then you make a run at it. Like, I think there's stuff about this team that lends itself to success, right? The fact that you have Soto, you have Judge, you have guys who can work walks. If you have Volpe, a guy who can get on base and steal a base at the top of the lineup, right? Like, that's all really good, like, really, really good. But there's other stuff, you know, like every team, right? No team is fucking perfect, but like, there's stuff about this team that right now that we're just poking a little holes. That's all.
I think you're not doing your due diligence as a fan if you allow yourself to be complacent, right? And again, we've had this conversation that we're a little older than maybe like the vocal people on Twitter between the ages of like, what, 22 and 28, right? Like, we're a little beyond that. So we had the luxury of seeing when we were young kids, the 90s dynasties. And then obviously 2009, we were old enough to appreciate that. We weren't like 10, 11 years old. So like we've experienced what a championship caliber franchise and an operation needs to be like. And maybe it's unfair that our standards are a little higher per se, right? But I see these issues and I say that's going to keep us from a championship. Winning 100 games isn't good enough. Making the playoffs isn't good enough. Being a team that, like, I'm excited to watch them every night, that only goes so far. Because it's been 15 years without a title at this point. And to the Yankees, that's an eternity, right? For a franchise that's won 27 world championships and expects to win every single year, 15 years is an eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to get all, you know, 27 ringsy on the podcast or whatever, but, like, you have a guy like Soto for at least 1 year. You have Judge in his prime. You have Cole, you know, when healthy. Cy Young Award winner, right? Like, that's a core, right? You gotta go for it. And I think there's some nice indicators about this team, the way they play, and things like, right, if a bullpen guy becomes available at some point, right, if you don't get all the other guys back, like, it needs an upgrade, right? Like, there's things that are there. But for now, I will move on from that for a little bit. And we'll just take a quick look. Coming up this week, they have three more games in Toronto against the Blue Jays, who honestly probably are just so miserable that they have to play the Yankees twice in the first month of the season. The Blue Jays have not been great against the Yankees the last stretch of time. They have three games against Tampa Bay next weekend at home, and then the week following they have four games against the A's, which, you know, what can you even say about the A's? So come to the end of the 6-game roadie here, and then they're home for a week, so that'll be nice. But yeah, I mean, we need to see more of what we've seen, right? Stroman, we need to see Rodon, need to see Gill. You know, I want to see all those guys go out there and continue to pitch pretty well. And God, I want to see Judge start to hit the ball a little bit more. That home run today was just fucking awesome.
Yeah, like when Judge is rolling, there's nothing better. When you're excited, every time he steps up to the bat, it's must see TV. That's when you know you're in the good place.
Yeah.
Although I guess, you know, we already have that with Juan Soto.
I was gonna say, we had a Soto Judge same game home run yet? Have we had that?
I know we had Judge and Stanton. I don't know if
Judge and Stanton.
I don't know if Soto and Judge have homered in the
Soto. I don't think. Maybe not. I don't think.
See, Judge's home runs were in Arizona. He hit today. That one against, was it Toronto? Or was it Miami? He hit one at Yankee Stadium, and then he hit the other one in Cleveland today. And Soto's home runs were Houston, Cleveland yesterday, and then
Yankee Stadium.
The one at Yankee Stadium, I think.
Against the Marlins, I think.
Was that the same game that Volpe hit the three-run home run? They both hit?
Yes.
So I don't think we've had Soto and Judge both hit home runs in the same game. Certainly haven't had them go back-to-back. That's going to bring the
Raptors. Yeah, that'll be electrifying. Yeah, so we need to see that, right? I'm hoping, obviously, Judge connecting with the ball like he did today is an indicator that the breakout is coming. But yeah, so that's the week ahead. You know, you got Toronto, and then you got the Rays. Got a nice 4-game set, but I hope will be easy money against the A's. But what do you think? What are your thoughts, I guess, as we start to wind down about the week upcoming?
Right now, the Yankees are in a good spot. They obviously have flaws. They have to improve upon the defense. The bullpen needs to be a little better. But all things considered, if they just keep the ship rolling, right? 6 games coming up this week. If you win 4, you just keep the train going. That's all you can ask for, right? Now, would I be mad with a split? I guess it depends, right? If we get shut down by Zach Eflin and Kevin Gausman, or I don't even know who's pitching in those games, right? But, like, you kind of live with it. But division games always mean so much, especially now because they've shortened the amount of times you play them with the more balanced schedule. You don't play them 18, 19 times. You play them 12 or 13 times. So each of these games matter a lot. And no one likes losing to Tampa Bay. Like, Toronto, you kind of live with it. And to your point, the Yankees have already had a lot of success against them. But no one enjoys losing to Tampa. So you got to win those games, especially at home. And yeah, as long as the Yankees don't have a bad week, they stay healthy. And we see some encouraging, like, maybe improvements at the bat from Rizzo, Torres, Verdugo. I think we're in a good spot, right? We'll be back here in a week, maybe, following the Tampa Bay series. Maybe sooner if something big happens.
Yeah, maybe sooner.
And
the judge goes again, absolutely as long as nuclear, right?
Don't hit the skids over the next six games. I think you just keep the good times rolling.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, look, sweeps are nice, but they played a handful of games. You know, they played a bunch of really good teams so far. If you win two out of three games all season, you win 108 games. So we're good. We're right on track. Anyway, I think in the early season, right, just keep banking as many wins. Hopefully you get Cole back, and then you go from there. But in the meantime, we're going to call it a show. And, yeah, this has been the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast by Six Pack Coverage, and we will see you later.